This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Book the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, as much as things change in DC, especially today, so much has stayed the same, and the Capitals have decided to have a rather slow start to the season, so they're sticking with their trend. Joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, you just made a face when I said that the Caps are kind of starting a little bit slow. Do you not agree they're not starting slow? They're doing okay?
They're tied for first in the division with the Flyers. Technically, I guess the Flyers are ahead of them. Flyers are 3-1, Caps are 2-0-2, but the still 6 points for both. I think league-wise, they were on top at one point. They're currently technically tied for first. It says they're in fourth. So, you know, slow start to the season, I would debate that with you. In regards to the last two games, I think it was kind of the opposite. They had a strong start to the game, and then they decided that, you know, about 20 minutes was enough. They didn't need to play anymore.
Well, yeah, maybe I shouldn't say slow start, but I don't know. Given the fact that we haven't seen hockey since June, I thought maybe that they'd be a little bit more jazzed to be out there, but they're doing okay. I mean, the Penguins started 0-2, and then were able to pick up two wins and even it out, and the Caps were able to start 2-0. But I don't know. This feels like, even though this is the regular season right now, this feels like this is a team that is still trying to figure it out right now, and maybe they don't know who they are.
Well, I think because they didn't have any preseason games, that I'd say these first, I'd even go 5-6 games, are them still, and not just them, like I would imagine most teams are still warming up to an extent. You know, that's why I feel like we're having some higher scoring games. I think that's why we're seeing a lot of sloppy passing, some goaltending that could be better, and opportunities that guys should be scoring that they're not getting because they're still getting into the flow of things. So my thought is maybe by, what do they play, Friday? I know I'm stealing the later bit, but like Friday and Sunday. So my thought is probably by early to mid next week, we'll really see, you know, the Capitals, but also other teams start to gel. Not Dallas, because they haven't even played a freaking game yet, but yeah. Other teams, I think we're going to see most teams start to get into the swing of things and actually play like a regular season team versus what we have been seeing. You know, the Caps played against a Buffalo team that on paper is not very good. And so, you know, right now they only have 2 points. They're 1-3 to start the season. They're not projected to make the playoffs. And so I think if they'd started the season against a better team, you know, if they started against the Flyers or they can't play Toronto. But if they start against New Jersey, who's, you know, 2-0-1 right now, are we sitting here talking about a team that's on, you know, tied for the top of the league? I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I feel like the passing has been really poor at times. I feel like it's been off. They're not controlling the puck well enough. They're scoring goals, but I think it's because the other teams are not playing as well as they normally can. I know the Penguins look to have regressed a bit, even though they won technically the last two games. So I'm not thrilled with what I've been seeing, but I wouldn't say they've had a bad start, but I also, you know, how much of that is due to just their schedule and who they were playing. But, you know, I want to see improvement. It's not as bad as it could be, but it can be better. And so I think we need to wait and see how they're doing after another week or two to really be able to judge, you know, what do they need to fix. Right now, they just need to get better overall. I think they just need to get better.
That was going to be my next question is, all right, so they're rusty, there's no preseason, this is kind of like a preseason. At what point does that excuse kind of go away? I know we're only four games in, so that 100% is an excuse that they can use and that we can use as fans going, yeah, okay, this isn't the team that I'm used to watching right now. But at what point does it go, something else is wrong?
Mid-next week for me.
Mid-next week. So
yeah, I mean, I think
so. There's three games until next Wednesday when we do a show. Two against Buffalo, one against the Islanders. After that point, if things haven't tightened up, that's when you start to go, all right, something's wrong.
Well, I feel like, yeah. Because how many preseason games do they usually have? Between four and, no, that's not right, six? Like around there?
There's usually a bunch of them, right? I mean, I think there's normally.
Yeah, but you also have a lot of the guys that are going to be in Hershey or South Carolina or go back overseas or to the juniors. You know, they play in those first few games. So I'm thinking like four games where your star, your NHL players are playing, right? Let's go with four.
Okay.
4 to 6. So they played four games so far. You know, I'm looking at next two against Buffalo and then the one against the Islanders. I'm saying after, see, I even go after the Buffalo game series, but I'll give them that first game against the Islanders. After that point, if there are certain things that are not happening that should be, like crisper passing, I want to see better goaltending. And I know you're like, what? But, you know, I there's certain things about both goalies I haven't been overly thrilled with. And I want to see better just general play from the forwards that we just haven't been seeing. And I think some of that is they're still getting in the swing of things. Yes, they had those two scrimmages, but you're not hitting the same way in a scrimmage you would in a normal preseason game against another team because you're not trying to hurt any of your teammates. You're not doing the same things that you normally would be doing. So they still need that time playing real live games. Unfortunately, these matter to get into the swing of things. So if by the island, the first of the Islanders games that they're not playing better, there's a problem.
Okay. Well, I mean, to start off, four games, they are getting 6 out of 8 points on the road. That's not terrible. That's pretty good. Good for them. This is the first time that they've had this long of a road trip to start the season, I think, since the early 80s. So this is something the Capitals really aren't used to either. I got to say, it was a real bummer to see them not win the game. I mean, any of them, but the last one against Pittsburgh, because top line Tom Wilson got 2 goals in that game. I don't think we've ever seen that from Tom Wilson. And that was pretty shocking to see, especially that first goal, which kind of seemed like a fluke. But I was pulling for Tom Wilson. I was kind of hoping could this maybe be his first career hat trick or something. I mean, he was close, but, you know, I kind of felt for him. That really sucked. 2 goals from Tom Wilson, and he still can't get a win. Yeah, something's amiss there.
Well, I feel like it's the kind of the Capitals thing that we've seen in the past. So in that regards, we actually have seen them. They are in mid-season form in terms of they come out strong and then we played about 30 minutes. We're fine. Yeah. We don't have to worry
but
about
again,
the rest.
A lot of that could be fatigue. I mean, really, they haven't been in a competitive rink for months now, especially a guy like Samsonov who hasn't technically played a game since March.
Yeah, that's true. And I think part of my issue with him is, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that, maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but I feel like I haven't heard anybody talk about it, but he's very slow getting side to side as the puck's moving around. And I'm guessing, and it's not every time, but I feel like his movements could be crisper, they could be faster, and maybe that's just because he isn't up to like game speed yet necessarily. And that's fine. I'll give him some more time. Like I'm not throwing him out. Like, get tips on, Vanacek's the man! Like nothing like that at this point. But I've been a little concerned when I've watched him play and he moves and the puck will go, you know, from one side around the net and he's just slow to react. So I want to see his reaction times in terms of following the puck to be a little bit faster. But I'm not overly concerned. I'm not panicking. I'm not, okay, we got to go. We got to make a trade. We got to find out, can we bring back Holpe? Like, we don't need to do any of those things just yet. But, I'm waiting to see how things are going to progress over these next three games to see, are they getting back into a good, solid form? And while we've seen Laviolette mixing up the lines, we haven't necessarily seen him bringing a lot of guys in and out of the lineup aside from Sprong and Sheary.
That's true. And I do want to bring up real quick, just to stick to goalies, I want to get into what we saw from Vitek since he made his NHL debut in a little bit. But like you brought up, Vitek and Samsonov have been swapping every other game right now. Is that more of just Laviolette to kind of see what's there, to get used to these guys? Or do you think he's going to do what Barry Trotz used to do with goalies and when there were back-to-backs, definitely split them up no matter what?
Well, the only back-to-back we technically had was the first two games against Buffalo, so that one made sense. I was a little surprised that Vanacek started the second game against Pittsburgh. I thought they were going to give Samsonov another game. I think that you might have a point. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I don't know what Laviolette's thinking. I wouldn't be surprised if he was looking to see which one of the guys can be the number one, and so he keeps going back and forth. And maybe he's just, you know, splitting duties. It's early in the season. Both haven't played a lot since, you know, the pandemic began. And so, had Vanacek even played since the pandemic began? He didn't play in the bubble. So, it's been a long time. So, he's splitting duties. And then, you know, my guess would be whichever one of them really stands out is the one he's going to go with. And if I had to venture a guess, that would be Samsonov. But, you know, Vanacek hasn't looked terrible.
Yeah.
So far, he's, you know, there's a couple of things he probably could have done better and some rebound control, but he hasn't been terrible. I don't think he's number one, but I think he's shown that he can be a number two.
Yeah, I was very impressed with his work in his debut. You can tell this guy has put in the work. He's been in the U.S., I think, for 5 years now at that AHL, ECHL level. And you see him in that NHL debut, and I'm like, hey, this guy could be legit. He could be the real deal. So I'm happy that the Caps have held on to him for so long. But back to Laviolette. So we did see him. He did juggle the lines a little bit. He kind of sent some people on Twitter, you know, through the roof by having TJ Oshie go down to the third line. And a lot of people were kind of thrown off by that. What were your thoughts on his line jumbling?
I think he's sending a message to Seattle that you don't want to pick this guy. No, I, you know, he moves the lines around during the game. So, you know, I didn't really think much of it. I think I missed the beginning of the second Penguins game, but did he start on the third line or is that just a practice?
You know what? I'm not positive.
I feel like I went and I can double check, but I'm pretty sure I read from the post Samantha Pell that he was back on the second pairing when the game started. Or the pregame skate. So, you know, he moves lines. It's not how I would necessarily do things as a coach, but I'm also not a professional, even though you like to call me coach. So right. To me, it makes sense to have the players consistently playing with the same guys or as much as assuming that's working because you develop chemistry and consistency. You know what the other guy's thinking on the ice. And to an extent, they have left that alone. But if something's not working, it seems like Laviolette doesn't have a problem with going in and mixing it up to find something that will work, whether it's just for that night or in general. You know, I think he has a good idea in terms of what he thinks the top six are, but he's not going to play favorites. He has no problem moving people around if he needs to, if that makes sense.
Are you a little surprised that it took Ovi a couple games to get his first goal of the year? I saw some people on Twitter kind of going like, you know, It's what was it, game three against the Penguins? That was the first goal for Ovechkin. A lot of people were saying like they were a little surprised it took that long for him. But again, this is still the NHL, and yes, this is still Ovi, but this is a whole different world right now. Like this season's going to be weird for a long time.
Yeah, yes, in terms of the schedule, but once it's back to just playing hockey. You know, once we get into the mid-February, it'll feel relatively normal. You know, it should feel like trade deadline, but it's not quite that. But in terms of Ovechkin taking a while, you know, it was a little concerning after he hadn't scored. I want to double-check this, but I'm pretty sure he didn't score in the second Buffalo game. So, yeah, it was a little weird, but he was still playing well. He was doing what he needed to do, and so he didn't get a point there. So I wasn't overly concerned. I wasn't going into the first game Pittsburgh being like, oh, my God, how do we trade this guy? You know, it's fine. I'm not worried about it.
I mean, we're very limited of what we've been able to see or experience right now because of the pandemic. But how do you think Laviolette's getting along with a guy like Ovechkin?
You know, it's interesting. I feel like when Ovechkin was younger, he was like really important that he got along with his coaches.
Right.
And, you know, it's still important. He's the captain. And I think it seems, you know, as long as they can... I was going to say cohabitate, but that's not, you don't want to do that right now in the pandemic. As long as they are on the same page, then it's fine with me. Yeah. I feel like we've never really heard any stories, and I could be wrong, but I feel like we've never really heard any stories about Laviolette having issues with players or star players. He's not a Mike Babcock. So I'm not concerned about it. You know, he seems like his normal Ovechkin self. I just think this is the beginning of the season, and essentially, for these guys, it's in a sense a preseason. You know, he's just warming up. So I'm not overly concerned about it at this point. I don't feel like we're going to get a lot of those stories or things we normally would see because of the pandemic. And so it'll be harder to judge in terms of their relationship. Right now, I'd be more concerned about the fact that there doesn't seem to be a lot of movement in regards to getting him a new contract versus his relationship with Laviolette. Now, we didn't really hear a lot about Backstrom before he signed his new deal. So
right,
that can change real fast. But at this point, that is more of a concern to me than his relationship with the head coach.
Well, dude's going to make some bank. I mean,
Toronto would probably, or Montreal would probably love to have him. I think he's going to sign. My guess, watch, they've already like announced it. We just didn't notice. I have to imagine it's going to happen at some point.
So Laviolette, we said he was more of a defensive-minded guy before he got here. The defense always has gotten better, when he comes in and before he leaves or whatever. But he's juggled the lines a little bit for the offense. Has he done anything to the defense? Has he changed that up into the four games at all?
It looks like he's moved some players around, but not really, you know, for a couple of shifts or something here and there. But from what I can tell, it's been pretty consistent. And it seems like, I mean, at one point I was listening on the radio to John Walton, and they were talking, he and Ken Sauerbrunn were talking about how Nick Jensen has looked much better than he did last year playing with Zdeno Chara. Now, I'm sure part of the reason he's looked much better is because he's playing with freaking Zdeno Chara. But exactly. Also, you know, if he's looking good, then, you know, some of that credit's to Chara, some of that's to the coaching staff in terms of getting more out of him. And I don't really think the defense is right now an issue. Now, given if you go over those last few games, you know, four games, they've given up four goals, one goal, four goals, five goals. Not great at the moment, but not necessarily the end of the world. You know, it's still early. And so if they keep having these like high scoring games against them, you know, then I'd be a little bit concerned. But, you know, I jury's out on a lot of things. And the defense in terms of how they've been playing is one of them. But I feel like I like what I've seen, you know, a few too many penalties. Not just defense, that's everybody. You know, especially against the Penguins the other night. And I want to say the second game in Buffalo, they took a few too many penalties. So they got to start fixing a lot of those things. Start skating more. Stop reaching with the stick. And yeah, hopefully that those things will improve, because that gives you a better opportunity. And every time you take a penalty, it's less opportunities for your top guys to score. Exactly. Although apparently not when you have a 5-on-3 and you let the other team score.
Yeah, that was pretty embarrassing. I don't know what was going on there.
Killed it. Right there, it was like Penguins are going to win this one. Like all the momentum. Yeah. It was a huge momentum swing.
I always have this theory that if you have a 5-on-3 and you don't score, you don't win the game. It's just, I don't remember it ever happening.
I mean, if you're the defensive, not defensive team, but if you're the team that is the three in that scenario, right, and you were able to kill it off, especially a long one, I mean, that is a huge confidence and energy boost. Even if you're tired, you're getting fired up because you're able to kill that off, especially, like I said, a long one. So if you can score on a 5-on-3 as the three, yeah. I mean, think about the to some extent embarrassment for the team that got scored on, but then also that boost and the energy and the momentum that you just gained by getting that goal.
Yeah. And going back real quick to what you said about Jensen, I did hear that as well. I think it was during one of the intermission breaks. I think it was even Alan May who was like, he seems very comfortable with Zdeno Chara as his line mate, and it seems to really be helping out his game. So I hope we see that again. It kind of reminds me, and they're not on defense, but it reminds me of when Jason Arnott was brought in with Alexander Semin. I mean, Semin looked like he had missed a step. They brought in Arnott, and it completely rejuvenated his game. So hopefully we get to see that with Jensen on the defense. We'll hopefully see a little bit more of that in the future. I'm a little surprised that they haven't put Dylan and Carlson back together as a full-time pair.
I mean, they seem to like having Orlov and Carlson together, and I'm not overly concerned with it at the moment. I think a lot of things are going to play out over the next 2 weeks in terms of how these guys are looking, how they're playing. I mean, right now they're tied with the Flyers for the most goals scored through this point in the season. 4 games, 15 goals. They've also given up the fifth most at 14 goals. So they're scoring goals quite well, but they're also giving up a lot. I mean, you're looking at Chicago's giving up the most at 20, then the Penguins at 18, then Vancouver at 16, Edmonton at 15, the Caps at 14, San Jose at 13. Now, of those six teams I just mentioned, they're all 18th or higher in the standings right now. The Caps are the only one that are, they're fourth, technically. I mean, they're tied for first because everybody there has 6 points. But that's a problem. So is it, whether it's defensively or the forwards need to get back and help out, which would be my guess in terms of what's more of the issue, and the goalies need to play a little bit better. I think that's another statistic to look at as we go forward in terms of how many goals are they giving up compared to how many they're getting. They're scoring enough goals. You know, they scored 6, 2, 4, and 4. That should be enough to win the game.
Yeah, well, and it's not all over.
Two's debatable. But, you know, they only gave up one, so it worked out. But if you score 6, 3, and 4, that should be more, you know, 3's a little tight too, but that should be a good amount to win the game. And the fact that they've lost to it overtime, so they got a point, but they lost to those because they gave up too many goals, that's a big problem.
Right.
So I think defensively, as a team, they can get better. I'm not looking at the six defenders playing and be like, you guys suck. Get better. But I want, Chara, get your 9-foot butt out of here. No, I think overall as a team, they need to get better. Stop giving up as many penalties to give them opportunities to score. And that statistic needs to improve. I think the goaltenders can get a little bit better. But I think that's the team overall. I mean, we're 4 games in without a preseason. So I think things will start to settle in the next week to 2 weeks.
All right, you hear that, Caps? We're giving you some time here, okay?
Well, I kind of contradicted myself because I said until next Wednesday, and then I'm like, wait to 2 weeks. You know, I think by next Wednesday, they should be playing like a regular season team. Even if it's the beginning of the regular season, you know? But they should be playing like a regular season team. With the next week to 2 weeks, I think we'll see some shifts in terms of the lineup as Laviolette figures out the pairings he wants. I don't think he's necessarily going to have that by next Wednesday because, you know, you're moving guys in and out. I mean, given, like I said, we've only seen Sprong and Sheary trade off so far, but I still think we could see a couple, a defenseman or two shift in and out and another forward, you know, moving some things around, or just moving guys in different lines to see what works out, giving them more opportunities. You know, there's still time for him to kind of mess with the lineup to see what really is working. And for one of the goalies to claim that number one spot, to plant their flag in the goal saying, this is mine, other guy, back off. Although, honestly, you don't want the other guy to back off because you want to constantly be pushed.
We do have to say we feel good for Henrik Lundqvist, who had his surgery and was able to come home. Everything seems to have gone well, and everybody seems happy and healthy. So that's really good news on that front. Mm-hmm. Caps also had a veteran come and join the post-game show, and Carl Alsner, which that came out of nowhere. I did not even know he had aspirations to be a commentator at all. I didn't even know he wasn't playing anymore. So I didn't see him at all. After that last game against the Penguins, I was pretty disgusted and just turned the TV off as quickly as I could after that buzzer. So I did not see any of Carl Alsner, but did you catch a glimpse of him?
So, I did, because I saw he was going to be on there, and I know he was essentially released by the Canadiens. So he's a free agent. He hasn't retired officially, but I was, aside from the fact that his power went out in the middle of the game where he's at, I actually thought he was pretty good.
Okay.
He seemed very comfortable, more comfortable than I would have been, and be like, all right, you're going to go put you on television. But, sorry, what? You know, he seemed very comfortable. I thought he had some good analysis. He made a couple of the rookie things that, you know, you see with guys when they first get in a broadcast where they're repeating themselves or saying a lot like I do or various other things. Like, but it wasn't as bad as when Alan May first started and here is my interpretation of how this game happened. And he was like, Alan May was very rigid. Now he's really good in terms of his ability to present himself on TV and give an analysis of a game. I thought Alsner actually looked very comfortable and potentially has a future in this. I don't know if it's going to be with the Capitals because I don't know how much money NBC Sports Washington wants to be able to shell out, especially since they just got rid of two well-liked individuals. But, you know, I think there's a future there.
it's kind of funny with the pandemic happening, the doors kind of open for a lot of past talent to not have to live in DC and can do a Zoom in and do an interview or something for a post game. So that actually is kind of interesting. Carl Alsner might be one of many, if you kind of look at it that way, that could come in for a specific game. Like, imagine a guy like Matt Bradley or Mike Knuble. Because you can come from anywhere in the world right now. You could have Yager even come in and say
He's still playing.
Over in Europe, right?
Yeah. He like owns a team in the Czech Republic, I think. I mean, I was going to ask you, you kind of started naming players before I could get my question out, which well done for being able to read my mind or get out of there. Which former player would you really want to join the post game or pregame or during the game analysis? Like, who would you want to hear from?
Man.
I'll tell you right now, I want Ovechkin after, because I feel like he would be highly entertaining and goofy.
How about Mike Green?
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
He always seemed
he just retired.
Very, yeah, he retired and he
didn't
also
he move back
always,
to DC?
I know he moved back full time.
No, he had
time,
the house
he,
on the market, but then I think they pulled it off.
I'm not sure. But Mike Green, think about that. He's always been very comfortable with a microphone in his hand. And, you know, the dude likes to dress up in suits, so just give him an excuse to do it.
I'm trying to think, who were the guys back in the Young Guns era that were really... I mean, I feel like Brooks Like would probably be pretty good. I think he'd be good.
Brooksy. He's got a podcast.
I don't know how much of his... Like, I would imagine he's pretty knowledgeable. But, you know, I feel like he would be good on air. Who else? God, I'm trying to think of someone that would be like... I'm trying to think of someone would be really entertaining. Like, who is really chatty and everybody like talking to? I can't. There's someone out there is like Ryan is probably like screaming at his wherever he's listening to this. How did you not think of this person? I don't know. I can't think of someone at the moment, but I'm sure there is someone that would be really good. But
what,
no,
what
I
about,
Mike would be going.
Remember Andrew Gordon?
Yeah.
He mostly spent time with the Bears, but mm-hmm. he always seemed like he was very knowledgeable and could do a little analysis of a game.
I think Holpe would be, who would be really good, given he's still playing, but Nate Schmidt, because I feel like he would just be incredibly goofy during the broadcast, and it would be a lot of fun. Like, I feel like that is in his future if he wants to do it after he retires.
All right, that'd be kind of fun.
I think that would be good. That would be good.
Anything else we should talk about in Caps World?
Oh, there's plenty of stuff. Let's see. The reverse retros. They announced which games that they're going to be wearing those jerseys. We can talk about the actual jerseys in a second, because I have a question about those. Or the whole idea behind it. But anyways, February 9th against Philly, they'll be wearing them, as well as February 23rd against Pittsburgh, March 9th against New Jersey, and then March 16th against the Islanders. So they're having 56 games, half of those away, which leaves you with 28, right? Yeah, makes sense. Anyways, 28 games, home games, four of them they're going to wear these brand new jerseys that they made a big deal about. Why would they not play more games with them, right? Like, you make this huge deal, and then you get to see them for four measly games. Now, that's point one. Point two, why are they only selling so many? Like, why can't you go online and get... you can go get a youth one right now. But there's no... I can't find where to get adult sizes. If people want them, why are you making it like a limited thing? I get you only playing... It's not supply and demand at this point, because there's no more supply.
Well, I mean, a big reason could be because of the pandemic. You know, a lot
they
of
got every
made,
other freaking jersey available.
Yeah, a lot of these are probably made in China, and only so much is being brought over from China right now. So they might have a limited stock. This might actually be a limited edition, where the other ones they say are limited are not really, but suckers like me will buy it because it said limited edition on it. But the four games, and they made such a big deal about this. Like, this is what kind of annoys me, even though, again, I bought the Stadium Series jersey, and they wore that once, and maybe, I think it was three times. I think they wore them twice after, and looked amazing on the ice. I don't know. Like, they did make a huge deal about this. People did eat them up. I think Capitals was the best-selling retro of that the NHL had sold.
Because it's fantastic.
But this seems to be, like, people are into it. There were lines wrapped around the old Kettler Center, and because that's the only place you could buy them originally, and then they sold them on Dick's Sporting Goods, and then they sold out immediately. So people were eating them up, and these are not cheap jerseys whatsoever. These are like $200 jerseys at the cheapest.
Well, that's like what they all cost now, unfortunately.
It's ridiculous.
It is absurd how much jerseys cost. But on top of that, you can go on to, I think it's a Monumental Sports on their website. You go to their shop, and you can still get some reverse retro items. There's one or two shirts. There's a knit hat that I almost bought, but then, you know what? I don't like the white stripes on it. I think that ruined it for me. There's a handful of other things, but there's no jerseys in adult sizes. But if you really want one, Brandon, I found somewhere you can go because there are plenty of them available. It's on eBay, where they are jacked up in prices in terms of what they're going to cost. So what we see is that they have these limited amount that these D-bags bought and then jacked up the price on eBay if you want to get one.
Wait, did they actually buy them or are these fakes?
No, they look legit. So a bunch of a-holes went and bought them and then put them on eBay for 150% more or however that
works. Makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I just hate some people who do that, because what if I wanted one? Now I got to pay $300-$400, which I am not doing. I honestly wasn't going to buy one for $200 or probably even $150. I was hoping maybe one day they would go on sale when they come out with their new thing next year. And then I'd be like, yes, I'll get one for like $80. Nope, not happening. So yeah, if you want one, you can go ahead and buy one on eBay if you have that kind of money to just throw around. I don't, so I'm not doing it. If you go on NHL's website right now, you can get reverse retro for the Caps. You can get a puck and a stick. But the Rangers have a bunch available, interestingly enough. Maybe because theirs is kind of boring. You can get the Anaheim one.
Well, we already did that show. So if you want to hear about what we think of those retro jerseys, you just listen to that on the archives on our podcast feed. We went through them all.
Didn't we end up with the same top one?
I think the top three
were the same. What was your number one?
I don't remember.
I think mine was the Colorado.
I thought yours was the Caps.
No, I think I had them at two.
I think I had Caps it too. It may have been Colorado.
Theirs is nice. I can't find theirs on. Not that I was going to buy it, because again, it's like $180, $200. I had them at one. You had them at three. I still think it's messed up that the reverse is the jersey of where you stole the team from. I mean, stole isn't, I'm being dramatic, but still seems kind of wrong. I'm trying to think of who you had at one. The Rangers one's available if you want to get that. You had that at four. I think you had the Caps at one. I had them at two.
I had Carolina.
At one?
I had Carolina.
Oh, because it's the Hartford Whalers.
Yeah.
Again, stolen.
And Colorado, I had at three.
Well, you're wrong.
All right. Anything else we got to cover in Caps World? We get
I think that's good. You know, let's just see how things go over the next couple of games. And then we'll talk again next week and see how they did. And hopefully it's, you know, they're getting back into like a real swing of the season. Everybody's gelling a bit because we do have a good amount of new players, at least on the defense from this point. Well, not this point last season, but the beginning of last season. And so, yeah, let's see how the next couple games go.
All right. Well, yeah, let's see how it goes. We're letting you go. It's 2021. Pandemic's still around. But get it together. You got a week. All right. So that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Everybody's back except for Dallas and back on the ice. So, Coach Dad, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
I feel like Dallas right now is that meme you see from, like, I think it's SpongeBob, where, like, one of the dudes is looking down at, what is it, SpongeBob and Patrick through the grate. Have you seen, you have to have seen that one. You're looking very, you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's basically Dallas right now is looking down the rest of the NHL like, oh, I want to play. You're not allowed to. But that Dallas is not going to be the only issue. Let's start this segment of the show in the NHL offices where they're having an issue with their COVID testing. So my understanding, here's how it works. A team gets tested, right? They go, all the players get a, you know, Q-tip up their nose. How far up their nose? I don't know. And then
could be throat as well. Could be nose or throat.
That's fair. That's fair. So they get the results 24 hours later. The problem, my understanding, is that they get the test. They go and play against another team. And then they get the results back. So
yeah,
guys
gonna work.
Are who are good positive are playing against another team. And that's how it spreads. These guys have never seen outbreak, contagion, any other 12 monkeys. Like any of these films.
12 Monkeys.
Have you ever seen 12 Monkeys?
I have, but I that's well, a reference there.
I was trying to think of other movies that had viruses. I don't want to spoil
28 Days Later?
Honestly, I've never really seen the first one.
That is the first one.
I know. I haven't really seen the first one. I've seen the second one. 20 Weeks Later.
Oh.
Still waiting for a third one. It's okay. Anyways.
Yeah, keep it going. We don't need
back
it.
Back on track. Back on track. Back on track. Pandemic. You know, you can't play a game between when you get a test because how you know if you can play that night.
Right.
So they're dumb. If this is how they're doing it, they're dumb. That's the only way I can think of it. But basically, this caused a game between Carolina and Nashville to get postponed after 5 Hurricanes players tested positive. Guys, it's not April. You should know how to do this by now.
Yeah.
Now, I understand it's a little bit harder. No, go ahead.
It always annoys me when, like, I actually can go get food somewhere, whether it be to sit down, dine in, or do carry out, where people are like, why can't my party of 12 sit down? We're 10 months in. Really? You haven't figured out that you can't do that?
There's another, going back to memes, there's another one going around the internet of basically someone with a mask below their nose, and the meme essentially is saying, if you haven't learned in 10 months how to wear your mask, or something like, you're an idiot if you haven't learned how to wear your mask in 10 months because it takes less time to train a toddler how to potty. I botched this entire thing, is what's happened right now. Basically, you can potty train a toddler faster and teach this idiot how to wear a mask, is the point that I've butchered trying to make. But I mean, sorry. I understand it's a little bit harder for the NHL and Major League Baseball than it would be for the NFL or for European football because there's more time in between games. But you had so much time to figure out how to adjust and make that work. And you didn't do it.
I thought that's why we didn't come back earlier.
Right?
We're still trying to figure it out.
So how they thought, oh, well, they got that test from before. That's not how it works. It takes time for the virus in your system for you to eventually to test positive. And you have to take that into consideration. That's why if you were exposed to someone who tested positive, you have to wait 5 days. I believe the CDC still says 5 days before you should get tested. Because if you go before that, it could be a false negative. So what we've determined here is that the NHL is continually dumb in certain the way that they do things. But going back into the NHL offices in terms of things that are allowed to happen, Colorado sent defenseman Ian Cole to Minnesota for defenseman Greg Patterin. We had a bunch of people not behaving themselves, so the NHL made a little bit of money, or other people are out of money. Vancouver forward Elias Pettersson, who is struggling, he was fined $3,987 for a slash on Calgary forward Sean Monahan. Now, the numbers might be weird. I'm guessing it's based on their contract, but this was the most allowed under the CBA, or the collective bargaining agreement. Minnesota defenseman Greg Patterin, who... that's weird. He got fined either right before or after getting traded. Anyways, he got fined $5,000 for cross-checking Anaheim forward Sonny. Doesn't sound like a guy who plays hockey should be named Sonny. Sonny Milano. Philly forward Nicholas Obkubel was fined $4,633.62. That last part's important. For roughing Buffalo defenseman Rasmus Dahlin. You must have roughed the bejesus out of a dude to get a fine for it. Like, how hard you rough that dude up? Pittsburgh forward Jared McCann was fined $10,000 for elbowing Philly defenseman Travis Sanheim. The NHL is doing away with the microchipped pucks only 6 days into the season. I forgot they were even doing this until I saw the article. They were getting rid of it. And so I was like, oh, well, I'm glad we're getting rid of the thing I forgot about. So apparently they were designed so they could like have a better tracking in terms of how things are going in the game. But
right.
Concerns were raised about their performance, according to TSN. Coaches and players were commenting that the pucks didn't move like a normal puck would on the ice. And that causes problems. So they decided they didn't like it, so they're ditching this whole plan that they had. And finally, Montreal announced that they have come to an agreement on a 3-year deal with, I'm going to say this wrong, Eastern Canadiens, Ryan, I apologize, Trois Rivières, to be their ECHL affiliate. Now, the Canadiens have been without an affiliate in the ECHL since 2018. That's the news for the past week in the NHL. Oh, yo, we got some breaking-ish news that just came in on my phone.
Uh-oh.
The NHL has fined the Washington Capitals $100,000 for failing to adhere to the league's rules regarding COVID-19. The Capitals committed player violations of the league's COVID-19 protocols, which involved social interactions among team members who were in close contact and who were not wearing face coverings.
Really?
Apparently, I am doing some research as you say stuff right now.
Wow, that's really shocking that something like that would happen. I mean, again, we just said it. We're 10 months into this. How do you not know how things happen? That's crazy.
So let's see. Samantha Pell from the Washington Post has tweeted, the NHL announces fine the Washington Capitals $100,000 for violating COVID protocols. Let's see. League says the team violated protocols, which involve social interactions among team members who were in close contact and who are not wearing face coverings. In the NHL's latest COVID protocol-related absences list, the Capitals were listed as TBA. The Capitals have been listed as none up to this point in the season. Well, that is embarrassing.
$100,000 player violations. So,
dude, if I'm the owner and I just lost 100K, like, I'm kicking someone's you know what. Someone screwed up, or someone's, and yeah, I mean, Greg Wyshynski of, I think he's with ESPN now. Yes, says the NHL has made an example out of its first team this season, fining the Capitals $100,000 for social interactions among team members. Ooh, I've already said that part like 4 times. Wow, that's not good.
So does that mean like on the road trip that a bunch of players were going out to dinner together, or
it doesn't say it's players. Oh, it does say player violations.
Yeah,
maybe
it involves social interactions among team members who were in close contact and who were not wearing face coverings. All right, who ratted them out? Who went over to TJ Oshie's room to play video games?
So one interesting thing here is that if the Capitals have been violating these rules, do they not only $100,000 fine, but are they either forfeiting games or having games postponed? Now, if the NHL wants to send a message, they might say, sorry, you can't play for another 5 days. We have to make sure that none of your guys are going to test positive. So that's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're forfeiting both your games against Buffalo. We're going to call those 3-0 losses. You're not playing again until the first game against the Islanders. That sends a message to the rest of the league.
Well, I mean, the way that Samantha Pell just wrote this. So in the latest COVID protocol-related absences list, the Capitals are listed as TBA.
Yes.
The Capitals have been listed as none up until this point in the season. So they're not playing Friday.
That's my guess, is either they're not playing or certain players are going to be not playing, and they haven't announced who yet. So, wow, that is, I mean, we literally have breaking news. That's happened like once before, I feel like, in this show.
Yeah. Usually it's the day after.
It's true. So yeah, stay tuned to Twitter for Brandon and my interpretation of the Capitals getting fined and other punishments.
All right, so since we're recording this, we really don't know anything.
We know they're dumb. Like we were saying before, it's been 10 months. What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, this is not hard. It's not hard. It's a freaking face covering. We all wear it in the winter because it's cold. This is not complicated. Just put your damn mask on. Not trying to quote Hogan here, but...
Yeah, it's like our governor, what he said.
It's so easy to wear it. Let me tell you, as someone whose job it is for at least an hour a day to stand out in the cold to greet kids when they come in the morning and say bye-bye as they're leaving in the afternoon, it's great having a mask on because it keeps my face warmer. Especially today. It was cold today.
For them to fine the team $100,000, this has to be like a team-wide
I think
violation.
Part of it is they're sending a message to the rest of the NHL. But I would not at all be surprised if they're not playing Friday against Buffalo.
Wow, this is bad. Yeah, this is really bad. Not a good look for the Capitals.
No, not at all. And considering the Wizards are having similar issues right now.
Yeah, let's not even say, like, bad look. This is just... This is rude, and you're affecting people's families. You're affecting people's health. You're being dangerous. You know, there's a lot of potential death that could happen if you just want to go out and party with a couple friends or whatever. But really dumb move by the Capitals, and I mean this could affect the entire season.
Let's wait. I mean, yeah. If it comes down to it, that they get. Not point stock because it's not European football, but if it's, you know, if they have to forfeit a game or two, that could come down to making the playoffs or not, depending on how the rest of the season goes. I don't know if they're gonna have to forfeit games. My guess at this point is that they will postpone them, but you know, let's wait and see let's wait and see more as we get more information in terms of what's going on. My guess is we'll get more information tonight and on Wednesday, Thursday.
I mean, I would assume they were going to do more postpone than cancel or forfeit because they still have TV rights and ads they have to pay for. So they want to make that money from the game. But, man, not a good look if you're a Caps fan right now. This is...
What do we mean if you're a Caps fan? I didn't do nothing. It's not a good look if you're a member of the organization. Or if it's just the players, it's not a good look if you're one of the players on the team. Or whichever guys get thrown under the bus for screwing up. Well, not thrown under the bus, because they screwed up.
Yeah, I mean, this also could make Peter Laviolette look bad. This could make the new coaching staff look bad. This could make the GM look bad.
Yeah, it could be an issue for McClellan. Let's wait and see, get more information before we start blaming everybody. Let's wait and see. But if it's Oshie, it looks really bad, considering I'm pretty sure he recently just did a PSA on wearing your mask.
Oh, that's right.
So if Oshie's involved, that's gonna look bad.
Oh man,
this could get very interesting.
Oh, this
depending
sucks.
On who's involved. Let's not, like I said, let's not start throwing people under the bus. Let's wait and get the facts before we start throwing said people that deserved it, you know, in the volcano or whatever the terminology is. So let's wait and see. But it's, I mean, as an organization, it's a bad look. If you're a fan. Yeah. You know, your Penguins, Flyers, Rangers, whoever it is, doesn't like the Capitals, Hurricanes fan, you're having a little fun at their expense tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, let's calm down. There's no reason to panic.
No, I'm not. Nope.
Oh, that was a good one. No reason to panic. All right. Well, the Capitals, we got more breaking news?
No. Well, not breaking news, but something I found interesting. Everybody go look up at Stephen Ellis, THN. If you're looking to support a small hockey nation, Kenya is selling jerseys to help raise money to build the game there. They're pretty cool. Green, little red stripe with white on both sides, black shoulders. But yeah, if you'd like, go on to your Twitter and look up Steven Ellis, StevenEllisThn. He's got a link there. I just can't get the freaking link to open. But yeah, check it out and support a good cause.
All right. Well, is that it for the show? Have we covered everything?
You know, as much as we can with breaking news.
Uh-oh. Well, if you'd like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related thing, especially as they're now in trouble. So I will be paying attention to what's going on and trying to tweet out my thoughts as they're stupid. Stupid people involved in this organization. Also talking about the Buffalo Bills, who are on to the AFC title game.
Uh-huh.
We'll see how that goes. Sorry, uh-huh. Brandon. I promise I'm not trying to rub it in. There's like so many Ravens fans, I was going to be like, I'm not texting none of them because that's rude. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be that guy. But that's where I'm at. Anyways, also talking about Arsenal Football Club, up to 10th, doing better. We're building. We're growing. Should have gotten a win against Crystal Palace, but that's okay. You know, we'd be above Ryan's team Chelsea right now if that was the case. But it's okay. We'll move on. Also talk about some other things as they happen. That is on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you can find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other interesting information regarding the Washington Capitals and which one of their dumb effing players have decided not to wear masks and have a big, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking because it's inappropriate, but a big party where you're doing not so good things is kind of what I'm, well, not bad things, but inappropriate things. My point is, put the damn mask on, you morons. That's what we need to put out. That's my new thing that guy in Chicago needs to make for me. Put the damn mask on, you morons. Let's make a meme of that one. But anyways, yeah, that's finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, you have to still be doing, I would imagine, at least one or two more shows, right? If people are interested in the Baltimore Ravens, is there a podcast that they can listen to?
Yeah, if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, you can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. We're going to do a wrap-up of the season this week, so you can definitely check that out. Now we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, there might be some games. They're scheduled as of right now, as we are recording, for Friday night, January 22nd, against Buffalo in D.C. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington Plus. On Sunday the 24th, the game has been moved to 3 o'clock due to the Buffalo Bills actually winning, beating the Ravens, going up against Kansas City. So that is the Caps versus Sabres, 3 o'clock, NBC Sports Washington. And then on Tuesday, it'll be the first time the Capitals face off against the Islanders. You can watch that on nationally on NBC Sports or locally here on NBC Sports Washington Plus. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Hopefully we get out of this preseason mode. Hopefully we have some games to talk about next week. The Caps will be the ones to decide that one, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think I know what's going to be a big topic of conversation during our show next week.
Yeah, thanks for that one. And if you're giving out $100,000, you know, you can float it my way as well. I will take it. So that's cool too. So that is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Hey, everybody on the Caps team, listen to what I'm saying, okay? Wear a mask!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman, voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.